Hi, I'm Howard Greenstein for Supernova and Supernova Hub, and I'm with John Patrick today. Thanks for being with me today, John.
Nice to be here, Howard.
So we're talking about Supernova and the network age, and you're certainly one of the people that's been involved in the network age for a good long time. You started in IBM in the 60s, and you saw the development of the web in the 90s. What are some of the things that you can give us as perspective of someone who's been watching the network age develop?
I guess the biggest thing I would extract from that is evolution. They're not huge steps. There are a lot of baby steps. And we see so many new things, whether it's Google or Twitter or Zoho or Netscape, or there have been so many. And each one seemed like it was going to be the replacement of everything preceding it, but it wasn't. It was another layer, another channel, another add-on, another capability, and it's been a cumulative evolution, and I don't see that changing.
We talked about the growth of Facebook and the growth of Twitter, and certainly we saw the growth of Prodigy and the growth of AOL in the 90s. What can we learn from that particular pattern of growth and development?
Well, one thing for sure that we can learn is that nobody has yet figured out the advertising model. It's also evolving. It has to be that if there are hundreds of millions of people communicating with each other and sharing thoughts and ideas and information about themselves, there has to be some economic return to that somehow. And I don't think anybody's figured out exactly how to do it.
We're sitting today at Web Media Brands, which is one of the companies that you advise, and they're certainly a model of online media, conferences, et cetera. Where do you see the models going so far as making money with content, which is certainly what people are trying to do?
Well, I think it's very interesting what's going on here at Web Media Brands. They are differentiating themselves by being vertical. In other words, they're focused on a particular. They're not trying to invent the next new technological breakthrough. They're trying to create community around people who share a common interest in advertising, in writing, in blogging, in graphics, in communications, basically. And people are very passionate about communications, and what the company is trying to do is to capitalize on that, provide education for them, provide job boards for them, provide a sense of community, and it seems to be working.
So the model is community and a vertical model, and that's tapping into particular audiences, and clearly that seems to be where a lot of people are going. But then we have these big folks that are going for everybody. Facebook, for example, people are wondering where the money is there. Twitter, people are wondering where the money is there. What's your suspicion?
Well, I think they're not mutually exclusive. And the classic term of a mashup, we really haven't seen the full potential of that as of yet. So the way I see it evolving is that people will increasingly have more control over their profile. And they may decide to create a single profile and enable it to be active at Facebook, at Twitter, at lots of other places, but maybe not the same profile. In other words, this portion of my profile I'll make public, this other portion is only for my doctor, and this other portion is for my family and friends. And people will, I think, get a heightened awareness of the need for that granularity, and it's not binary, you know. So today it's considered, well, you share everything or you share nothing. There's a lot of room in between.
I've certainly seen a lot of comments about the fact that everybody on these networks is your friend, and there's lots of differentiation between friends, acquaintances, business contacts, and don't seem to have a lot of tools to help us with that at this point.
No, we really don't, and this goes back to a subject that's been around for a long, long time, which is reputation. And this will, I believe, become increasingly popular, and of course eBay made a really good stab at this issue with how many stars you give somebody, but it's become more or less binary. You know, people are either pretty close to 100 or they're bad. Yeah. You know, and again, granularity comes into play where so they're not good or bad. They're good at this, but they're not good at that. You know, they deliver quick, but they don't pay. Or there's a lot of room in there to be more granular.
So we've talked about a little bit about the past. Now I want you to put on your prognosticator hat. As someone who's, again, been watching the industry for a long time, where do you see the future of the network age? We've got wireless, we've got networks, we're starting to get towards ubiquity. We've got a broadband plan that the government is working on. What do you see coming down the pipe that maybe others don't?
Well, I think what a long-term perspective shows you is that more and more choices. There's nobody's going to dominate. You know, back when I joined IBM in the 60s, people thought IBM was taking over the world, and then next thing was Microsoft was taking over the world, and then Google's taking over the world. Well, none of them have, nor will take over the world, because the network provides a good idea from anywhere in the world to become adopted anywhere in the world. And so we see Zoho come out of nowhere in India, and they do a better job with Google Docs than Google Docs does with Docs, right? And so, and they may not be so successful because the next guy comes along with a refinement to the idea. So I think we're going to see a continuous evolution of the technology. Things are going to become more and more natural as we get more bandwidth, more connectivity, better devices, more smartphones and less dumb phones, tablets, voice recognition. You know, these things are all evolutionary in their nature, and so it becomes more and more natural. And I think also the concept of mashups, which is, again, is not a new idea, but I think we're 1% of the way into the potential of mashups to take the best features of various things and put them together and create an application that does what you want it to do, the way you want it to do it,
right,
and interact with the people you want to interact with.
Will we be still talking about the mobile web in 5 years, or will that just be the web at that point? And where's the future of our mobility going?
Well, we're already at somewhere between 3.5 and 4 times as many cell phones as there are PCs. And that's going to continue to change. The last figures I saw were that smartphones grew at 25 to 30%, I think it was, last quarter, and dumb phones were actually declined. And so I think we're pretty close to the point where we can say that the PC is not so relevant. And not only the PC, but operating systems becoming less and less relevant, and the browsers becoming more and more relevant. And when you look at what's being done at Opera and with Chrome and with Safari, I mean, these browsers are getting really good. And they're becoming very capable at executing code within the browser. And this is the key aspect of cloud computing. And I think cloud computing is really, I mean, we're 1% of the way into that. And I believe people are going to wake up and say, you know, the odds of me losing my data on my ThinkPad are greater by getting it stolen at LaGuardia or JFK than they are at Google forgetting to run a backup or improperly, you know, being attacked in some way. So everything's in the cloud. Once everything's in the cloud, then I really don't care about the operating system. I don't really care about the device. I just care about having a really good browser that can execute code against my data, which is in the cloud.
I saw on your blog that you had taken some terabyte storage that you had at home and then bringing it to a really small box, and then you said you've now put it all in the cloud. Is that
all in the cloud? And I trust them. And people say, well, I'm afraid Google's going to read my spreadsheets. And I'm not worried about that, because I think they have more at stake than I do. They have many, many billions of dollars at stake based on them being trusted. And they have a lot of really smart people. And of course, there are choices. You can, if you don't feel confident there, you can pull your data out and you can put it somewhere else. I mean, the cloud, there are a lot of clouds out there. And it's really going to become the dominant way. It's just so obvious that it's becoming utility-like in nature.
And we've also talked about the disruption of networks. And one of the posts that you had recently on your blog was about AT&T not allowing Google Voice on the iPhone. And we've seen some of the data of what Apple says AT&T will and won't allow them to do since that post. But, you know, sort of where do you think that situation is going? The phone companies, the people who own networks, not being able to control necessarily what goes on them? Or where's the future in this?
Yeah, unfortunately, I think this question gets into policy at a very high level. And some people would say that the biggest three threats to the future of the internet are AT&T, Comcast, and Verizon. And there's an argument there that it's not necessarily to their benefit to have the wild and woolly internet and to have things popping up all over the place and to have any device work with any network, with any data. And with sure. They don't like that idea necessarily. But I think in the end, the power to the people, which is the basic concept of the internet from the beginning, I think will continue to prevail. And there are a lot of ways to circumvent people that try to dominate. We see this in parts of the world that want to censor their content, and then people have learned about proxies. So a person in a country that doesn't allow them to visit a certain website visits their relative's website in the US, which is running on their PC, which is not restricted from that particular content. So that becomes a proxy to allow them. In other words, it's very hard to block content on the internet. And I think it will also be hard to block services, because services are just another set of zeros and ones, just like the content is.
I think that this is a much longer discussion in that, and I hope that we get to have it either on the Supernova Hub or more at the Supernova Conference in December. I thank you very much for spending time with me today.
Good to see you, Howard, and I'll see you in San Francisco.
We'll see you at San Francisco at Supernova.